Our New Testament reading is continuing in the book of Philippians, and it's the beginning of chapter 3. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And it's now time to welcome in our preacher this morning. Good morning, Mark. Great to have you with us.
Good morning.
All good in your household?
Yes, very good, thank you. Yeah, all well.
Fab, I'm going to leave you to it, Mark, and I'm really looking forward to hear what you've got to share this morning with us.
Yeah, good morning again. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. It's true for us today as it was when Paul wrote it. And please open our ears so that we may hear what you want us to hear today. Amen. We come to the third of our autumn sermon series on the book of Philippians, which is Paul's letter to the church that he founded in Philippi. Philippi was an important town, indeed a Roman colony, in what is now modern-day Greece. The church was doing well, so Paul was giving thanks and offering encouragement, at the same time warning them about one or two things. Last week, Andrew brought to us Paul's reminder to have a new attitude, to imitate Christ, and to put others ahead of ourselves. In today's passage, Paul prompts us to ask, in what or in whom do we place our confidence? Have you ever planned and really looked forward to a well-earned cinema trip? Maybe based on some really good reviews you've read online or in your newspaper, or recommendation from friends. You stocked up on the popcorn and fizzy drinks, settled down in the comfy seat. You've endured the trailers and all the adverts. Finally, the main feature arrives. But when it starts, it dawns on you that the film's not as good as you expected. In fact, as it goes on, you're thinking to yourself, actually, do you know what? This film's rubbish. So what do? Well, the obvious thought is, well, I paid for this film. I'm not going to get a refund. So I'm blooming well going to sit it out to the bitter end, get my money's worth. When the sensible or the counterintuitive thing would be to say, no, I'll accept this film's rubbish. I'll leave the cinema and spend the next couple of hours doing something better with my life. And as we shall see, rubbish is the word Paul uses in today's passage. He starts by warning against the Philippians, against the so-called Judaizers. Their thinking went that because the first Christians had first been Jews, any new Christians also had to follow the same route by becoming Jews first and for the men being circumcised. Paul said this wasn't right. Beware the dogs, beware the evil workers, beware of those who mutilate the flesh. Paul was saying that circumcision no longer had any spiritual value, therefore it became only an external rite. In other words, having confidence in the flesh. Instead, Paul says, it is we, the church, who are the circumcision, i.e. in a true relationship with God, by worshipping in the Spirit of God and boasting in Jesus Christ. To emphasise the point, Paul lists one by one the things that he, formerly, as a devout Jew, thought had put him in credit with God. Been circumcised on the eighth day after his birth, as required by the law, born and bred an Israelite, member of the tribe of Benjamin, which is the tribe of Israel's first king, born of Hebrew parents, was a Pharisee, he'd been zealous in persecuting the first Christians, and he'd been faultless in observing the strict letter of the law. All those things should have counted as gains, but Paul says, whatever gains I had, I come to regard them as loss. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of Christ, because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Knowing Jesus far outweighed all those things he thought of as putting him in credit with God, the things he previously had confidence in. So I thought, well, like Paul, what good things could I stack up on one side of the scales? Maybe you, in a moment today, could do the same exercise. Well, I've been a faithful churchgoer for many years. My parents are both Christians. I'm a member of that faithful Church of England tribe. Done my share of church duties, held down a respectable job, and so on and so on. So I might think that having ticked all the right boxes, like Paul did in his day, does that put me right with God? Does that mean I've earned God's favour? Well, in fact, as we know, salvation or acceptance by God is an undeserved gift. It's once having found that acceptance and his unconditional love, then I can live to please God. It's not that all that stuff in my life or our lives is bad. It's just Paul says we shouldn't be placing our total reliance on it. Nevertheless, it did come as a bit of a shock to hear all that stuff that I might have done in the past, I'm still doing, as rubbish. In fact, the modern translators are seeking to spare our blushes here a bit. The King James Version of the Bible puts it this way. I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them all as dung, that I may win Christ. Yet even the word dung doesn't really convey the force of what Paul was saying. Think of what you might find if you've been given the task of clearing out a stable. That will give you an idea of how strongly Paul was making his point. Paul says, the reason he regards all that other stuff as dung is so that I may gain Christ and to be found in him, not having a righteousness that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. I think Paul's message has particular resonance for us right now, as our confidence in some of the things we've always relied on is being seriously undermined. And the material things on which we've built our lives are perhaps becoming not so reliable. Financial certainty, full supermarket shelves, the lights always coming on when we press the switch, low interest rates, political stability, cheap flights, and so on and so on. I'm sure you can add to that list. Right now, especially if we're overwhelmed, unable to achieve what we and unable to achieve what we want through our own efforts, what can we do in response to Paul's words? So, of those things that in our lives that we place too much confidence in, is there anything there which is rubbish that's preventing us getting closer to Jesus? Anything that we need to clear out? So just in a moment of silence, if there is anything that comes to mind, let's just offer it up in prayer briefly. Secondly, we can all try to get to know Christ better, to learn more of what he did, what he taught, how he lived, of course, by reading our Bible or a Christian book or chatting with Christian friends. We could revisit that challenge we were given earlier in the year to spend at least 10 minutes a day, or just 10 minutes a day. Then we can try to become like Jesus in his death, in other words, dying to that self-centered life that we too often engage in, and to know the power of his resurrection. If we believe in the resurrection, we don't fear death, we can aspire to live life now to the full, with the promise of eternal life to come. So it may need some sort of change in our lives, in other words. Right, I'm still in the cinema thinking about that expensive ticket I bought with my hard-earned money. The Pepsi's gone flat, just dropped my bag of popcorn on the floor. I've given the film another few minutes. It's still rubbish. So what should I do? Amen.
Amen.